You know the car that we should talk about cars because nobody else is here to stop us. So I want to talk about cars that none of our friends care about. Or
yeah, on the Volkswagen podcast.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Have you seen the new Toyota Crowns at all?
There's new ones?
Mm-hmm. The U.S. Toyota Crown. Oh, man, Colin. Jeez.
Share the screen, my friend. I would like to see this.
There's a wagon. It's called the Signia.
Ooh.
It's kind of, maybe the wagon is not the Signia. Yeah, I think that's the wagon. Anyways, it's kind of like a weird tall SUV thing, but I kind of like them. It's like the best Lexus RX 350 there could ever be style-wise. Hold on. I'm sorry. I got to find a good picture. Otherwise,
I'll be the judge of that.
I don't want to, you know, I don't want to show you this and for you to be like, oh, this thing's so stupid, which you're going to do anyways. But like, I just want to give the best chance.
You
got to
get the best angle for it for me. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's red, which kind of sucks, but this is a good picture of one. Hold on.
Yeah. I don't like red, but we'll see.
Might make you mad. Like a bull, you know, share screen, ground Signia. Crown Signia prizes, reviews, blah, blah, blah. Okay, there we go. So they made it a weird little crossover SUV, and that's why I made the RX 350 or RX comment. Mm-hmm. But I think it looks way better. And I've seen, like, every time I see one of these, like, on my phone, I just go, whoa, this is super interesting. And the internet thinks I should be looking at these for some reason. So much so, the algorithm has gotten me so
You're
much.
You're in the market.
That my son sent me a picture from the dealership the other day. It was like, what do you think of these things? And I was like, dude, I think they're kind of cool. I think with the right, you know, like wheel tire combo lowered a bit or a lot, I think it could be pretty sweet.
It looks the same as all the other ones.
I mean, it looks
to me.
I think the white gets me and the black sometimes. You can't see this yet. I hate the screen share function on this thing. It's like,
they don't sponsor us, so you can talk bad about what we use.
But what if
that's fine.
What if they cut us off or something? I don't want that.
We pay good money for this shit.
We pay some money for this. Let's be clear. I don't know if it's good money.
Yeah, it's not good money, but
I don't know. I just think they look kind of cool. For a boring commuter car, I think they look cool.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think they could look really cool with the right. You know that, like, have you ever heard anybody say that you can just like add a stance to the end of any search and it'll bring up cool cars? I'm gonna try that. I don't know if that's going to work on this one. It's, actually. All right. Hold on. This is a rendering, of course. Ugh. But it's kind of worth it. Let's see. Bum, 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 bum. Huh? I get the vibe.
I mean, I mean, obviously, you know, wheels and low, almost anything looks
cool.
Better.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Anyways, that's my weird car soapbox for a second. I just, it just really has been all over the internet for me, which I think is so funny. I'm about to turn 40, so maybe that's it. Maybe it's just like, hey, we noticed that you're a child in many of your choices. Have you thought about a Toyota Crown Signia?
I just speaking of, you know, weird cars, I mean, I guess it's not that weird, but it just, this conversation reminded me, I just saw like a week, maybe 2 weeks ago, in person, a Kia Rondo.
Oh, I forgot that was even a car.
Yeah, I had not seen one in person ever. And like, we're on the highway and I'm coming up behind it and I'm looking at it. And I'm like, God, that does not look familiar to me at all. What the fuck is that? And then I get close enough. I'm like, okay, it's a Kia. Got it. And then I finally get close enough to read the badge and like, and I start like realizing, it's a Rondo. Oh my God. I've never experienced this.
I think you probably just never noticed one before.
I don't know, man. They've got kind of an odd look.
They've got like a tall roof, right? They're kind of like
Mm-hmm. They're just a little weird, and it just, yeah, I don't know that I've ever seen. I knew that they existed because I remember when they came out, everybody made fun of it because Rajon Rondo is a basketball player.
Yeah.
And everyone basically compared his playing career to a Kia Rondo because they were kind of alike.
Okay. Yeah.
and then this was the first time I've seen one in person. So I don't know. I was amazed.
All right. Yeah. That is.
And then I saw today, and I can't think of what it was now, but it was, I want to say it was another Kia, but it may not have been, but it was, I want to say it was like the Ioniq, like line. Do they have like multiple? Because I know
there's the Ioniq 5 and the Ioniq 6. The 6 has got that funny slopey back that almost looks like a 996 taillight.
That's what I saw. Yeah, yeah, it's got like, it's like a weird looking, ugly Mercedes. Mm-hmm. That what are those? The SL?
Like the CLS?
CLS, yeah.
I'm going to say something that people will hate just as much as me saying that I think a 8.6 is a better choice than a Miata sometimes. I think they might look better than CLSs. Every time I see one, I'm always like, you know, I don't love it, but I kind of love it a little more than a CLS.
Which is not, yeah, that doesn't bode well for overall. It's like, if you think that's ugly, wait till you see.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Weird cars, man.
Yeah. Speaking of weird cars, here's a good one. Speaking of news no one cares about, especially probably you, but I mean anybody really. There is a new Morgan Supersport.
Okay.
Morgan, I don't know if you know this, is famous for making cars with wooden frames until very recently. Mm-hmm. So kind of an interesting fact. But this one's made the rounds all over the internet today and maybe yesterday because of this cup holder in the passenger seat.
Oh,
it is
nice.
In a very precarious spot. Oh wait, they put a note on this picture.
In case you didn't notice cup it, holder. Yeah. Did you see it?
Very middle front of the passenger seat. So it's a small car too. So like, what an oddball thing to do.
Yeah, definitely guaranteed to trip over that.
Well, apparently
on your way in, or just like bend the shit out of it because you stepped on it.
This is the Morgan auxiliary cup holder that they offered as an accessory, it looks like.
Mm.
So that's kind of cool. I like this drawing. Okay. Oh my God.
I mean, it's kind of like the patina handle.
Yeah.
Or patina.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whatever his.
I was trying to get one of those for.
He makes those, but it sits all the way to the console side or, you know, whatever side you want to mount it on. So it sits directionally on one side or the other of the seat, but it's like the same concept.
Yeah, same idea, just in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, I wanted one of those for the Mark II. I started looking into them. I was really excited, but they don't work for those cars because. Water-cooled Volkswagens in that era, you know this, but I'm going to say it. They have one like mounting point in the front seat and it's in the middle. So this would have been a perfect solution. Maybe they should start making these. This is the best comment on here. It says, is this just Morgan's way of helping to encourage sexy interactions as your fingers graze an inner thigh while you reach for your 32-ounce Mountain Dew, eyes locked with one another, telegraphing raw, humid passion as you caroom down some windy back road?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a big news thing. Big news week. Big
Major news. Week. News.
Yeah. I saw cool cars this weekend. Speaking of cars, I saw, I sent you guys a bunch of pictures from this meet that I went to here, in Denver. And, one of the cars that I saw that just reminded me of, and I lost it, was not at that car meet. Actually, it was the day before.
Well.
I saw a, for lack of a better term, British Racing Green, GR Corolla, a like a new one, obviously.
Okay.
It was very cool. I've never seen one in that color. It stood out like crazy. So very cool. I like those.
There was cool stuff at that car meet that you sent the pictures of too. Yeah. So
there was two S15s there. I mean, I know that's not like that crazy, but like, it's kind of crazy. It's not a car you see ever. I mean, Paul had that one in Central Oregon. I can't think of other ones that I've seen in person other than maybe a car show here and there. That's about it. But to see two of them, especially one that nice, the other one was just kind of stock, but it was still cool. And then so many parachutes. I made the comment there was more parachutes than, I think the last time I saw that many parachutes was at LS Fest. That's how many there were. Lots of slicks.
Is there like a big half mile drag strip or something over there? Or
no, I think that they, a lot of these vehicles are not so legal with their racing is my assumption.
Oh,
I don't know if you caught, you probably couldn't have caught this with the picture I sent, but there was an SRT8 Jeep that had like a full, like a drag and drive car. Like it had a crazy chassis, big blown Hemi or something, slicks, parachute, crazy cage. Like, I mean, just the wildest thing. And it had plates and it definitely drove there. And I was like, okay, I rolled in behind, an R35 Skyline with a parachute, and slicks, four slicks. And I was like, it's so funny to be in a bug behind a car like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's quite the dichotomy to be rolling in alongside something like that.
Yeah. It was pretty good. A lot of BMWs like that too. A lot of Supras. Yeah. I mean, it was cool. You know, that crowd, like, they're not necessarily my people, you know, that I would normally try to hang out with or anything, because, like, we just don't. They're different kinds of enthusiasts. But I, for better or worse, like a lot of different things. And so it's really cool to see, like, 1,000-horsepower car is 1,000-horsepower car. That's pretty sweet, even if I don't think it's maybe the best looking or it's a stupid brand new BMW or whatever it is, like, it's still pretty cool if it's got beadlocks and stuff on it. Like,
yeah.
To me, I was like, okay, well, that's pretty sweet. Obviously, I'm not going to go on a cruise with them after because I can't keep up and I wouldn't anyways. But and there were a couple air-cooled Volkswagens. There was this guy with it was like a 65, 66, and I think it was on air. It had clear taillights, which I'd never seen before, I don't think, which was kind of interesting. Definitely not something I want. But it caught my eye because I was like three cars behind him. And I went, oh, hey, look at that. He also had like a silly Chucky doll on the roof or something. Like, Volkswagen people love to do weird shit.
Yeah.
What is that?
There's definitely a sect that does that just odd. Like they feel like there needs to be a theme.
Yeah. Yeah.
To the vehicle. Or, you know, something like that. And it always seems to have a mascot that the
you gotta have a mascot.
Is based around, right?
Yeah.
I don't understand that either. It's just, it's like, it that type of thing always reminds me of when the dolls, at the car, you know, at the, you know, the old people hot rod meets. That's what that type of stuff reminds me of. And I have always thought that's just the stupidest thing. It's basically ducks on your dashboard.
Oh, like, yeah.
That's what this is.
Is it a peekaboo doll? Is that what it's called? Yeah.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah, peekaboo doll. Real weird.
Real weird.
Yeah, don't understand why. I don't know. I don't want to say that we're right, but I think we're right. I think it's weird.
I'll say it. We're right.
We're right. That's good.
Yeah. We're always right on the Campfire Passport podcast.
Hey. I'm singing the song.
Okay. Okay. I can't hear it. Yeah. You need to turn your volume up.
Oh, it's that whole monitor situation again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So we had other things to get to. You said you had a story for story time, which I didn't know was a segment, but I like it.
Okay. All right. Well, so story time, I'll pull this up because it was like, so it was a bit of a text message conversation, but then it also involved multiple phone calls. So my father has a 2016 F-350 Power Stroke.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is one. So if pre-information one, it basically only gets used to haul stuff and tow stuff.
Okay.
They really don't use the truck outside of that. They take it to take the trailer out camping, shit like that.
Yeah.
So much like the OBS they had before, it's low miles still. So he's got 56,000 miles on it. And it's a 16.
Wow. Yeah.
So not a ton of miles. Mm-hmm. He sends me a text. And this was a while ago. He sent me this text and he said, "Hey, I might need your help looking up some codes on the truck that I've pulled out of it." And I was, "Oh, okay." So we find out what they are, and it's like a what's the word I'm looking for? Basically, it went into a reduced power mode because of an error on two cylinders. And so he ends up taking it into, so basically he was driving it home and it gives them a warning on the screen that says reduced power mode, you know, error code, yada, yada, yada. And so he's like, he thought to himself, "Oh, maybe I ran it low on def or something like that and didn't remember or something like that." And so he goes and he checks and everything and everything's fine. Can't quite figure out why it's doing that. Gets it home, looks at the codes, sees that it's that, and so then he takes it to Ford. And they scan it and decide that it is a injector code, which apparently is somewhat common with them. They can get leaky injectors.
Okay.
So they go ahead and put two new injectors in it from the two cylinders that it had this code on. One of them that they pulled out was for sure leaking pretty bad. So they're like, "Okay, cool. That was probably all it was."
Sure.
So slap a couple injectors in it, fire it back on, same error codes, same cylinders, still having issues. So basically what they told him at that point was, "Well, it's probably... you dropped a valve. Now we've already escalated to dropped a valve."
Wow. Okay. That escalated quickly.
Yeah. So he calls me and he's like, "Well, you know, they're saying it's going to be like $7,500 to put a new head on it." And that's what they're telling him is the best case scenario.
Ooh, okay.
At this point. His warranty was a 50,000 mile warranty. So of course now he's 6,000 miles
right over, of course,
out of warranty. Yeah. Yeah. And he can't seem to get anybody to listen to his argument of like, "Come on, give me some leeway here. There's gotta be some kind of apron that I'm within still," but
sure.
He hasn't gotten anything worked out there. And then they proceed to tell him, "Well, if it's anything worse, then we're looking at 2023 for a new engine."
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that makes sense because they would, yeah, I get that.
Yeah. They would just want to put a whole new engine in it. And I said, and so my thing with that was, okay, well, have they done anything to prove this theory, or are they just going to have you have them take it apart and find out? So then you get to pay for X amount of hours to find out, "Oh, now it needs an engine."
Yeah.
Or whatever. So I said to him, "Well, there's ways to find this out. you can do a compression test and you can do a leak down test and narrow it down so you actually know what's going on. And so then he says that they, when he asked them to do something about it, they did this relative compression test.
Relative compression test. Okay.
So I had to look it up because I had never heard of it, but apparently it's some newfangled way that they're doing this.
Newfangled way.
Where, where, so a starter motor has a certain like level of resistance or whatever draw.
Yep.
And it changes for every cylinder.
Okay.
And so if you have a cylinder that has a valve open or has less resistance, mm-hmm. then it drags on the starter less.
Yep.
And so they can narrow it down as, hey, because it drags 5% less on this cylinder, that it's an open cylinder, essentially. So, and so then I said, okay, that narrows it down to the cylinder, mm-hmm. sure, but that does not narrow it down to what is wrong. You're still just stabbing in the dark of what the actual issue is. And you want to spend 3 hours taking this thing apart and then the rest of the time doing even more potentially.
Were there other drivability issues or did it just go into limp mode?
Nope. Just went into the reduced power mode.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
Just out of the blue.
Okay. So one would assume that mechanical failure is probably very low on the probability scale at this point.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make noise. It doesn't. Got it. Okay, cool.
Well, I mean, it's a diesel. It makes noise. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so this is where they're at. They tell him that. They give him the quotes for how much it's going to cost.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, they still have not told you like that they know for sure what the issue is. It's just, we're going to take it apart like all the way and find out instead of like actually knowing what it is. And I said to him, I said to my dad, like, it'd be nice to know on the front end, because if it needs an engine, do you really want to do that? I was like, you could probably trade it in at that point and just go get another truck, like drive off the lot with a different truck.
Yeah, or not have the dealer repair it at that point.
Right. And so he said that when they gave him the quote, they said like, so what do you think you want to do here? Do you like, would you want to trade it in or what have you? And then the dealer apparently tried to tell him, I mean, it's not like you've got much in trade-in value on it. And I said to him, that's a load of shit. It's a 16 with 56,000 miles. It's a F-350 Power Stroke. And he goes, yeah, I went right out on the lot and they had basically the same truck out there for $65,000-$70,000. And I said, do you owe any money on it? And he goes, well, of course I don't. And I said, well, then you've got trade-in value. That guy's full of shit,
yeah,
for one. So then he's on this path of, well, you know, maybe we downgrade and, you know, get a little smaller truck, get a smaller trailer and this and that. So it's like this compounding thing of all the stuff. And I still said like, okay, but you still should have them do at least a leak down test, because a leak down is going to tell you, is it the head that's the issue or is it the block?
Sure.
Which at that point tells you it's the engine that needs replaced or it's just the head that needs replaced. And then you can decide from there how far you want to go.
Yeah.
I have not heard any news yet, but he said that he told them to do a leak down test, because what's an hour or two of shop time at this point to find that out versus just going and taking it apart and then finding out it needs an engine.
Jeez. Right?
So that is, ongoing. That was the story I wasn't supposed to tell.
Whoops. I see. Okay. I wondered.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sucks.
So we're in the middle of that. That wasn't the story I meant to tell. I went right to the wrong one. That's great.
It's so good funny that you figured it out at the end.
Yeah. I got this far.
I was sitting here like,
fucked it all up.
Wait a second. Do we know the answer to what happened?
Nope.
No, we don't know.
No answers yet.
Oh, my
God. So I just went through all that for nothing. Let me get to the actual story that I meant to tell.
Well, I mean, I guess you can update us.
Yeah, I'll give you an update later on. Oh, and then if there's somebody else that's with us, they'll not know at all what's going on.
That'll be perfect.
Unless they listened.
Yeah. That's a real test, like a little honesty test. Have you been listening? Mm-hmm. Got to get Luke on because he listens to every episode on repeat. Remember?
There we go. Yeah, Luke and his brother.
Yep, exactly.
So AJ randomly texted me.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
A couple weeks ago. And let me get to the front of this because it was...
That's also like a 16F250 or something that he has, right? Doesn't he have...
No.
I think he has...
He's got the... He had a 150, mm-hmm. a Tremor, that he traded in for the Sprinter.
Mm. I'm so sorry. Different AJ. Different okay. one. Never
Different
mind.
AJ.
There's okay. another one who has, I'm pretty sure, a 16F250, by the way, that he's trying to sell, ironically.
Okay.
So go ahead.
Okay. So this AJ texts me and he opens with, let's see, it was right here. There we go. He says, had a question since I know you're a car guy. What's a good small SUV for the fam that's fun for a DD? Hmm. And then he says, looking at an SQ5.
Okay.
And I thought that was funny because of your recent.
Yeah. It's a logical
SUV.
It's a logical thing. Path.
Yeah. So start talking to him about that. And I said, and then he says, I'm driving a lot for work and the van is just not ideal for it, as in the Sprinter.
Sure.
So he's
Unless
looking
he's
to
making deliveries for his job.
Right. Yeah. So he's looking to get out of the Sprinter, essentially. And then like he thinks he wants to get like perhaps into a smaller van, like an import van or something like that later on.
Cool.
But he says he's putting on the miles and yada yada. And I said, well, I mean, if you're looking for MPGs, you could hit the hybrid RAV4 market.
Yep.
Because obviously that's a great option.
Man, you just called a boring ass commuter car a great option. Good for you.
Well, for putting on the miles.
Yes, absolutely. For ruining.
And it's funny that you say that because he said, yeah, I've been thinking about those. They're just so boring.
They are just so boring.
And I said, well, you know, that's that is accurate.
Has he considered the Crown? I'm just saying
that didn't come up.
I'm just saying
because it's a little because after I said that, I said, well, you did say fun.
Yeah,
you wanted a fun to drive. So then I said, okay, yeah, probably the SQ5 is a decent option. There is the BMW X5 M,
mm-hmm. X3
something
M too.
Like that, or X3. Yep.
Yeah.
I said, fortunately, I said Porsche Cayenne.
It's a great option. Macan.
And then I said L94 Range Rover Sport.
Sure.
Because, you know, five liter supercharged. I mean, it's, you know, these are fun little. And then I mentioned the Macan because it's probably a better Cayenne, really.
I mean, it's a better Q5 is what it is.
Oh, sure. Yeah. and then I was like, you know, it just kind of turned into like this, I'm just naming things. And I was like, I think I'm just naming things now because, you know, whatever. I mean, I you know, SQ7, the Alfa Romeo Stelvio.
Every
you
know? SUV that has been made.
Like just going through all
have
these.
You thought about the Ford Explorer? Mercury Mountaineer?
Yeah. So, and I was like, oh, you know, Grand Cherokee SRT, mm-hmm. you know, if you want to stick up, you want to go American,
yep.
Jaguar F-Pace.
Yeah.
But he kind of just went through like, oh, okay. You know, he said, I know the Audi 3.0's engine, is good. Just has some quirks with timing chain. So he has an issue with timing chains. He's got a high concern level on timing chains, I found. So we talked more about the Audi, you know, with the 3.0, because it's such a, I mean, it's capable of so much.
Oh my God, they're outrageous.
Like, with
so little,
to no work.
Yeah.
So, and then I said the classic thing that I've been saying.
Have you thought about a
you
Range
will absolutely
Rover?
Get way more car for the money if you look into the Range Rover market.
Okay.
I you know, and he said, are they good rigs?
Define good.
I heard from a Range Rover mechanic to never purchase one, just lease, because he's working on them all day. And I said, look, any mechanic that works on the same thing is always going to say he hates that car. You go to a Subaru mechanic shop, they're going to say, fuck Subarus. You go to, like, this is what's going to happen. Like, that is, if I worked on them all day, every day, I would say the same thing. I would still probably like it because it has other, you know, aspects, but I would tell people not to own one. I mean, I still tell people not to own one unless you're willing to do X, Y, and Z, obviously.
Yeah.
But then we kind of start sending some ads back and forth. And I said Range Rover Sport. And then he sends me three ads for full size L405s. And I'm like, I'm not going to say no. I think those are great. But just know small. That's a much bigger SUV. That's a big SUV.
Yeah.
And he sends me two that had, or no, one was the diesel, which is kind of cool. Not going to be fun to drive necessarily, but decent mileage.
Yeah.
And then one that was the supercharged V6, which is kind of like the bland, most bland one, but it was a really good color.
Okay.
He sends me a Macan, a 17 Macan. And then it's the Macan S. And then I looked at it and whatever. And I said, that's the boring one though. You need the 3.6 if you want a Macan. Because it was not the 3.6.
Okay.
I figure, you know, you want the big engine, right? If you want a fun one.
So an S is the V6. They didn't put VRs in the Macan.
Mm.
That's Cayenne only. It's kind of weird. So the S is the same as an SQ5, basically. Not the same, but it's in the same family.
Okay.
So just
okay. Yeah. See, I don't know the Porsche SUV market.
I think, you know, we can get to my opinion in here, but like,
no, get to it. Let's hear. Oh, okay. It. I want to hear the opinion because we're still sussing out ideas to even look at.
Got it. So the Macan, I think, like, dynamically is better, right? Like, it's going to be sportier feeling. It's going to feel kind of like a sporty car SUV thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Range Rover is luxurious, right? And like,
yeah, unless you get the Sport. The Sport is going to kind of combine the two because it's smaller, still has the same power.
I think also if you're looking at this, like the supercharged ones or like a V8 powered one, like that's that, like the same thing as the SRT Jeep. It's like hammer acceleration, exciting in a straight line, should be pretty comfy, should be pretty luxurious, very luxurious in this case. So like, I think it just depends on the, you know, on what you're after. I think if you're looking for like the evolution of a, you know, fun hatchback car, but with more, you know, space, then it's like Macan SQ5. I'm trying to think what else is in that kind of spot. Like GLS Mercedes,
GLC, that's the one GLC, I suggested.
GLC. That's the one.
Yep.
X3 and then X5 Cayenne. And, I guess X5 Cayenne Q7 are all the like bigger X3 is not, sorry, X5 Cayenne Q7.
Yeah,
that's where I was going. X3 is going to be the small guy. So
yeah,
but they're not small. I mean,
and they're
either.
Not that much bigger. They're
yeah,
they're not that much bigger. They're bigger, but they're not like, that's not like the difference between a Range Rover and a Range Rover Sport. Like, that's,
yeah, I mean,
between an X3 and an X5.
Q5 to Q7 might be because you go 2 to 3 row. So that's where it gets like,
man, the Q7 still looks so small to me comparatively to a Range Rover.
You might be right, just because that's kind of like it's not a suburban size, but it's like that biggest version. But the Q7 is really big inside. I mean, imagine it's an A8 with a third row in an SUV. Mm-hmm. So like, it's not small by any means. But it's not a Tahoe either. That width is different.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to like side by side compare them, but I have no idea. I think that like is the thing kind of that we've it's funny, we've talked about this so much, like it's just a funny thing because it seems like maybe trickle down SUV has finally hit us and our friends because it's like what's available that's cool. Mm-hmm. Or that's like, you know, valuable or fun or all these things. Like there's a lot of SUVs that fit all of these different spaces, but it's there's just so many options. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, there was more than I initially thought, like after he asked me.
Yeah.
And like I started like thinking about it and looking, and it was just like, oh no, there's that, there's this. So the third Range Rover,
yeah,
full size,
okay,
that he sent me was the one.
Okay.
We're talking white,
mm-hmm,
black interior,
okay,
5-liter supercharged,
okay,
autobiography.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Honestly, I end up saying these things and realizing that no one agrees with me, but like, I think triple black would be the only, like that, or like a dark blue or dark green is the only thing that I think would be a little better.
One of the ones they sent was the really dark green.
Mm-hmm.
It was the V6 supercharged. So not quite the same car.
Yeah.
But they were at the same place.
Interesting.
So next thing I know, he's sending me pictures in person. Like
he went to go look.
Not even an hour after he sent me the ad.
Nice.
I'm like, oh, so he's just there, like looking at these cars. Turns out the white one, way nicer than the green one. The green one's like, he was like, dude, the green one had curved wheels and just like, just did not have the right vibes. Like it didn't look like one that was taken care of.
Okay.
Had some kind of like shady records and stuff. Mm-hmm. Whereas this one, the white one, which priced at $31,999.
Whew.
So $31,990, and it has 83,000 miles.
Man.
17. So autobiography. So it's got, like I was telling him, he's like, so what does autobiography mean? I was like, that's basically they took all of the best stuff for luxury and all of the best stuff for performance and all of the best stuff for off-road and
they
just slapped it all together. So it's got fridge in it. It's got, you know, I mean, every option you can think of, this thing has got it.
Starting MSRP, I don't know if you looked at this, for 17 Range Rover autobiography. So starting, mm-hmm, before you add options,
yep,
$141,990.
Yeah.
$141,990.
Yeah.
It is over $100,000 off currently.
Yeah. So much car. For that amount of money.
And if you parked it next to a 2024 or 5, I mean, you know, I might know, but 80% of people would think they're the same car.
Yeah. They're fairly close. The newest ones are, like, the newest ones you can, if you went just profile for profile, from like a distance, you might not be able to tell.
Yeah.
It's obvious from like the back or the front, yeah, direct on, because they changed the taillights.
I love those taillights on the newest ones.
Yeah, it's good.
I hate that I love them so much, but every time I see one, I just think, man, that's awesome.
Man, that's good. Yeah. So he ends up looking at this thing and he drives it. And then he starts asking me timing change issue questions again. And I'm like, look. That was an issue on the early 5-liter supercharged, the ones that were in the L322s. By the time they did the body change to L405, they had already ironed that out and people are not having those issues anymore. And I was like, if it does have that issue, you'll be able to hear it right away. Like you can, it's louder than a VR chain slap.
Okay.
Like it's like, it makes a smooth running V8 sound like a diesel. Like it is bad. So, and I said, plus you'll have a ton of warnings on the dash that'll say that shit's not correct. Like it has sensors on the timing chains to tell you that this isn't right.
Yeah.
Basically. So does not have those issues. So then we kind of talk about like reliabilities and like, oh, well, what if this goes wrong? And I was like, dude, like it's not that much. In the big scheme of things, when you look at the cost of the Range Rover, yes, the prices for parts are going to be higher, but it's not crazy. Like, a compressor is $300. Like, that's not that bad.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine. An air strut, yeah, they're $400 a corner. But when you're replacing them, you go to a dealership, they're going to tell you you need to replace all four, which you do not need to do, but they're going to sell you on a $2,500 job.
Sure.
Because they want to replace all of them. But so we're going through that, and he just says, dude, this thing's amazing. And he likes it, and he's good to go on it. And then I was like, dude, like, he found a couple of like little things like that he didn't like about it. Like, it had some rear bumper damage on it, like a weird spot that looks like maybe something hit it, and then they never did anything to repair it. It just kind of like is there.
Okay.
And I was like, well, like, you don't, obviously you have nothing but time. You can, it's got service records, so that's great. It's always been serviced at a Land Rover, and which is a great start. And I was like, go drive some other ones. Go drive a Sport and
see what
you think of that.
Yeah.
And then compare it to a Macan or what, you know, whatever. Like, take, you know, figure it out, man. There's all kinds of options. So he's wandering around this place. He witnesses a lot attendant crash a car while he's there. So that was funny.
Yeah.
And then, let's see. Let's get down to he sent me some of the Carfax stuff. Apparently the car was in Bend at one point. So somebody bought it in the valley, brought it down here, traded it in at Volvo, and then Volvo sold it back to this dealership in the valley.
Okay.
So it's had two owners, but has had title changes through dealerships a couple of times on top of that.
Okay.
Which is an interesting scenario, but
yeah.
And I was like, well, you know, they're a little high on the price, but you could probably, you know, talk them down and yada yada. And then he starts talking about, well, you know, it'd be nice if I could kind of use it for some off-roading. What is there even any tires for like that size? And I was like, you should be able to fit 19s on it. There are, you know, some smaller tires you could put on it. And then I sent him a lowered one. I was like, but you could also do this because it would go
the other way.
It's like, huh? That
alternately.
Is pretty cool, yeah, there is this. And then he sends me a couple other things. So he leaves, does not purchase at the time, which I told him, you know, to not to, like, check out a couple other ones. Sure. If something on this thing is concerning you, like, look at some other ones, compare it, and you can kind of see.
Yeah.
What you think about them. Then he's sending me like, oh, they've got a G-Wagon here. And I was like, well, Jesus, man, you've fallen all the way down
the luxury SUV train.
A whole nother level here. It's like, oh, okay, well, what are good Lexus Land Cruiser models? And I'm just like, oh my God, now we're like, I was like, you realize you're just in the like SUV market now, right?
Yeah.
Like, this isn't small, fun to drive stuff anymore. Like, so I was like, okay, I mean, there's LX 470, 570, 600, there's the GXs, there's like, I mean, I don't know where you're going with this, you know?
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, they've got this on the lot. And he sends me this picture of a 4Runner. It's like, wow, we're going to full loop into the most boring option you can. And he's like, oh, it's a limited, so it's loaded. And so it's from the V8 era.
Okay.
So it's one of the ones with the V8, but it's not a TRD, so no locker.
Okay.
And I was just like, for a 4Runner, it's good. But it is black, which is going to suck.
Yeah.
And it's boring. I was like, I mean, not to get personal, but I'd rather see you in a Macan or an SQ5 than a fucking 4Runner.
Yeah, unless you're starting to do a silly overland only build or something, then sure, that makes sense.
Right.
But
yeah, you're totally shifting gears from the fun SUV that is a family car to the overland stuff, like,
yeah,
it's like, huh, you know, sends me a freaking manual Tacoma. I was like, wow, even more meh. Like, just like, man, we're really going down this. And, so a couple days go by. He's still kind of hemming and hawing over it. And then he made a purchase.
Oh.
And so the Sprinter is going to eventually go up for sale, but he did make a purchase.
Okay.
Any guesses on which one he ended up purchasing?
Oh my God.
Out of all these options, jeez,
I thought we've gone so far.
Where do you think he went?
I mean, I kind of want him to get the G-Wagon at this point because it's both the luxury and the off-road. Like, I think that mm-hmm. one makes a lot of sense, but I'm sure he bought a Range Rover. Like, how could you not after all that? Or how could you, know, you would either do that or never touch another one again. I think that's,
yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I thought as well. He got the fucking 4Runner. So, after all that,
you ever watch a movie that ends in a way that you're just like, what the fuck?
Uh-huh.
That is what happened here. Huh.
Yeah, it literally happened that way because he didn't even like,
so it's a fourth generation one, huh?
Yeah, it's like the one that Jesse got screwed on.
Yeah. Those are fine, but I would much rather have the next generation that is so popular. Anyways, not my choice, but that's okay.
Yeah, I don't know. He didn't even tell me that he bought something. He just, like, days later sends me a text, you guys doing your trip in April? And I said, well, we're going to push it back to the first weekend of May, actually. And just because that was the original plan, and then that kind of got screwed up by Sean and, you know, yada, yada.
Fair.
Here we are. This is what we're going to do this time. And he said, okay, well, let me know. We might be down to go. I bought the 4Runner. It's just like, man, after all that,
that's, you picked crazy.
The most boring option you could of all of the things. And he said that, I know I felt misplaced in the fancy Range Rover. Like, it felt too nice for what he had in his mind, which
I get that.
To me, any of the other options that he said probably would have also, maybe not like to Range Rover level.
Yeah.
But if you're going to slum it down in a freaking 4Runner,
man, at least get a GX.
I mean, anything.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm a 4Runner aficionado. I like them. I mean, without a doubt, I like 4Runners. I think they're a great choice for a lot of things. But I cannot see a world where you would cross shop those two vehicles.
Yes. Yeah. See? Now we're back in the cross shopping conversation.
It's a strange one.
He went real wide on the cross shop.
Very
but
wide.
It's still
he cross country shopped. That was
but it's apparently it's low miles.
It's good.
Let's see, it was a business vehicle. So it only ran 2,300 miles a year in the first 17 years.
Okay.
Which, so he didn't tell me what it actually had. What it actually
got. Do the math real quick.
I'm not going to do the math, but
2,300 miles. What year is it?
Let's see. What did he say? It does not. He doesn't ever tell me.
I mean, what's the last year of the fourth generation?
Oh,
2010? No. I don't know. I guess I can Google it. 2010, 4Runner. Oh my God, come on. I was trying to make a joke that it got driven 100,000 miles in its last year, but I haven't gotten there yet. No, it's not 2010. Must be 20. They are 2009. I was 1 year off.
Yeah.
So let's say it's a 2009. Mm-hmm. So 16 years old. Yes, I used my calculator for that.
Okay.
And he said 17 years of 2,300 miles a year. So it's got like 39,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's that's less than the miles Jesse thought he had on his.
Uh-oh, it could be. Maybe it's the same one.
Oh, no, because that one was, wasn't Jesse's?
It was a V6, I think.
Yeah, it was a V6, and it was blue?
I thought it was black. But
was it black?
I don't remember.
Maybe it was. I don't know.
Yeah. Man, he probably doesn't want to. He's going to hate listening to this. He's so mad about that. I mean, it sucks. I feel bad that, you know, somebody misportrayed that, but also shit happens. It's not really, he took it hard like it was his fault. I'm like, how are you going to know?
Yeah.
Every time I buy a car, I just feel like I'm just taking a risk, like whatever. It's, I'm trying to do my best, but sometimes you just don't know.
Yeah. It's always potentially a gamble.
A lot of the cars when we were looking for, when we got our Q5, a lot of them were rental cars, and I kept going, man, I don't know. And, but we drove one of them.
You know how you treat rental cars, right?
Fastest car in the world is a rental car.
Exactly.
We drove one of them and it was fine. And I was like, you know, I don't know if it's a deal breaker. I don't love it, but I can't tell if it's a deal breaker or not. Like, it's probably maintained. It's definitely had the crap beat out of it. I don't know. Well, man, we've done like a decent amount of podcast here. I had another thing I wanted to bring up that I'm going to bring up because I might as well.
My story time, because I had an extra story by accident.
That was a great story time, by the way. So we talked about this in our friend group, but I don't think we brought it up on the podcast. This is something that just popped across Bring a Trailer, which is a 24,000 mile 1990 Toyota pickup. And the commentary was interesting among our friends because we've talked about these like silly low mile vehicles that have, you know, gone through Bring a Trailer that cost way too much money. Usually they're Land Cruisers. This is not particularly low. I mean, it's low miles, but it's 24,000 miles is not like a never been driven. It's not showroom quality. Like it's a really nice truck.
It's about the miles of that 4Runner Adrian's
exactly, got. Yeah. This might be, he was probably cross shopping this, to be honest.
Right? Well, how wild he was. Yeah.
And the other thing that gets me, and I think I said this to everybody, is it's not stock. When I think of like collector vehicle, I think of stock. Mm-hmm. Like it's either got to be modified by like, you know, Gene Winfield or something like that. We just had that conversation, so it's fresh in my mind. Yeah. Or it's stock. Like there's no in between to me. Like a slightly modified 100-mile Porsche is kind of weird. And so like a 24,000-mile Toyota truck with a lift and 33s, it's like, why? Anyways, it's in very nice shape. But it is incredibly surprising that it went for as much money as it did. It went for $50,000, which is just wild. Original MSRP on the truck, 12,000 and change. Yeah, 12,000, and it's really hard to read that like dot matrix printer Moroni report.
On yellow paper. Yeah.
It's just great. Three service history records. And it, again, it's nice, and it might be one of the nicest 90 Toyota pickups out there. I don't think it's the nicest though. And it
plastic bed liner.
It blows my mind that it got that much money. It had to have been, it's got tinted windows that are kind of purple. It's got BFG KO2s that look like they obviously don't have a ton of miles on them. And everything's in pretty nice shape or perfect shape. But God, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a nice truck. Yeah. It's just not a $50,000 truck. Like if that went for 25, I'd be like, wow, all right, that seems fine. Not like a deal. Not like the person got the best price ever for something, but it was just fine. Yeah. But 50,000. Oh my God. To me, if it was like bone stock and had 5 miles on it, like delivery miles, and it was 50,000, I might think that was I'm not worth it, but like the price that I would think it would go for.
Right.
I don't know. It's crazy. I was trying to read through the comments really quick to see if there's like a couple people that are talking about how it'll go forever because it's a Toyota. I remember reading through this and I'm like, it's not a brand new truck though. Like it may go forever, but also everything is 35 years old. So like,
yeah, with no miles on it,
yeah, which you have to replace everything.
Miles on it can ruin things too.
Yeah. All the rubber. Like
you have to use it in order to keep things.
Oh man.
You know? Yeah.
And it's been used a little bit,
stuff.
But like,
yeah, but not enough.
In my mind, the most likely scenario is it got driven 20,000 miles in 2 or 3 years. And then someone bought it and went, eh, and they parked it.
Every once in a while drives it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's down to the soda shop.
I doubt that it had no miles until a year ago or anything like that. Like it's just not, or it didn't get driven 600 miles a year, whatever the math is, for the last 35 years. Yeah, that's not
exactly.
Yeah. That's crazy to me.
Well, speaking of paying money for stuff.
Oh yeah.
Where do you want me to start?
What kind of metrics do we have here? What can I?
You can start with. Just give me any metric.
Give me the lightest color.
Darkest color.
Darkest color. Darkest. First.
Okay, we're going darkest first. That would be bit of a toss up. There's more color on this one, so I'm gonna go with this one. All right, so we just need to share it. Guy.
Ooh,
all right, so we've got here is a 65
a knack
International
for finding
Travelette
these
1200. So it's $15,000. It's up in Seattle. Looking to sell complete project truck, not parting it out. Capital letters.
Fair.
Okay. Pricing in quotes is what I have into each component. So he's one of those people. And those also are not quotes.
Yeah, those are parentheses, my friend.
Those are parentheses. So, truck does not run and drive. It needs all the plumbing and electrical done, radiator and intercooler mounted.
Ooh, that's interesting.
For what's going on. Driveline, steering, and all other little things. So, it is a 65 Travelette Air Force short bed. So apparently it's a special bed that he paid $2,300
for. I've never seen that before. Now, do you think that the $2,300 is what he paid for the bed or the truck? I feel like the truck.
Yeah, I don't know.
What the heck is a snow fighter? This guy is...
Yeah, 78 to 79 Ford Snow SNO fighter D60 axles, $2,500. Michelin 1100-16 XZL tires, $2,500. Full CPT 4-inch lift kit on the front, $1,100. Shackle flip and cast iron spacer on rear. 12-valve pump Cummins 5.9 and rebuilt 0-hour NV4500 transmission with new advanced adapter kit to NP205 transfer case, $5,000. Metal by Charlie NV205. 4,500 transmission mount and isolators, $200. I mean, this is ridiculous. It says all this. Ramsey, 12K electric winch, 500. New radiator and good intercooler,
not,
500.
Not new, but good.
Not new, just good. I would like to see proof of that. How did he find out that it was good?
Looks good.
New aluminum factory style fuel tank with return fitting from the Binder Boneyard, local to us. Yep. Well, local to me, not you anymore.
Yep.
$900. Full floor sheet metal kit from Super Scout, $350. Leather seats and rear bench.
Free.
Yeah, no cost. No cost to you.
Let's scroll through some photos of this.
It's pretty fucking cool.
I love it.
I mean, it's not in great shape. Like it is a barn find shape.
That is patina.
Yeah.
But
you remember that
Cummins? Remember that Ford flatbed thing
that I pulled up before? Yeah.
This reminds me of that. I love this.
It's it's kind of in that. It's got less modern tires, so those tires are kind of going to suck, honestly. But,
oh, definitely, but they look cool.
Yeah. Okay, he's got pictures of his lift and stuff, and so of the
it's a,
adapter and whatnot.
It's so a Cummins, a 6BT, I'm guessing?
5.9.
Yeah, okay. Oh, I missed that part. So P-pump. 12 yeah, valve. Okay, 12 valve. Okay. Got it. Yeah, I mean,
it's a project.
I think.
But it, like you said, it's got everything, but it's still a project. So it is way cool, though.
Yeah. First off, the Snowfighter is a real thing.
Okay.
It is a,
give me the details on what the Snowfighter
means. Package was in the late 70s in the F-250, F-Series mm-hmm. truck, I guess. Maybe not just. And I don't know. It's got 1-ton axles. I think that's really what. It's got a Dana 60 HD front axle, which I think is what they're, what the
catch is. That's what he's alluding to, is yeah. that he's got. Yeah.
Also.
Of the era.
Heavy duty springs and shocks, cab lights, block heater, auxiliary transmission cooler, upgraded radiator, heavy duty alternator, camper special is separate from that. So anyways, it was a real thing. That's funny.
Hmm. Yeah. I've never heard of that.
You know, it's funny when I typed it in, I was like, I think I've heard of this before.
It does have a gun rack.
I saw that with a gun in it, which, you mm-hmm. know, I think that's helpful. It helps sell it.
Yeah. Yeah. It really gives the vibe, you know?
Yeah.
It's super cool. I do think that I would pay money for it just because it's a cool international.
It's maybe one of the coolest internationals I've seen. I'm gonna go that far. That short bed crew cab is a great look.
It's a really cool look. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, 5-speed Cummins is not my first choice always, but I'd do it in that for sure. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, just because it comes with it doesn't mean you have to use it too.
Yeah.
You know, you could always sell this 0-hour NV 4500 transmission.
I like this 0-hour. It's gone 700 miles, but it did that.
So, I mean, that's $5,000 yeah. right there. You could, according to him. So, you know, that's a transmission and a different transfer case, you know?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure. Okay, so since we said darkest, so now we're going to go to this other one that you'll see why I said it's kind of hard to decide.
Yeah, it's very close.
Which one's the darkest. So this 77 F-150 regular cab short bed started life as a long bed. Truck came out of Northern California.
That's a no bed.
Yep. Runs and drives. Great. 351M out of a 79 Bronco. Roughly 5,000 on the rebuild with the Holley Sniper.
All right.
Just installed long tube headers.
Currently open.
Currently open headers.
Means no exhaust.
No exhaust.
That's what he's trying to say.
456 gears, lockers, 38s, DIY beadlocks that beadlocks I welded up.
It's good.
A bunch of upgrades. Proven
no
rig. It's been to the Rubicon and Moab.
All right.
Hurts to sell, but I'm looking to finish up another rig. Looking for 8,500, maybe partial trade.
I mean, that
rig's is in Bonner's Ferry.
That's kind of a deal.
It's not terrible. 8,500 is not terrible. But I will say, and it does have Patagonias on it.
Yeah.
As I scroll through the pictures, you'll see, like you said, it's done stuff. So, you know it's been used, but that does raise, you know, some concerns.
It's going up Soup Bowl.
It's also done this.
Done the mud. Yeah.
Done
of course
the mud
it has.
Truck
Look
thing.
At it.
Yeah.
It's practically made for mud. It needs different tires and more power, but that's what it's yeah. made for.
I mean, it needs 40s.
Yeah. It's funny. 38s look tiny on it.
Yeah.
I mean, not right now, but in some other right way, now. I could see myself paying money for that. Not right now. It's not.
That's a totally new side talk on that.
Yeah.
Not right now.
I don't see, like, the international, you know, given that amount of money in my hand allocated for a truck and that truck, I might do that. But if I had this truck's money and this truck, I'd go, maybe.
Okay.
So yeah. I'd probably pay money for that.
Yeah, it's funny. You're opening up this window for me to say probably also. But I think that I have to say no.
Oh. So wait a minute. You're going to say maybe, but your maybe means no, and my maybe means yes.
Yeah, I think that's where the rub is there between the two of us.
Okay.
Rubbing in between us.
I can see we're in agreement then.
Yeah. And I, you know, I tend to lean towards when I see, things like a flag being flown off the back of it and a certain bumper sticker
and the mud,
I'm not interested in, you know, making financial exchanges with.
Okay.
That type of people, because I just feel like I'm going to hate the buying experience because I'm going to have to, you know, grit my teeth through it, listening to some, you know, just bullshit yapping about things that I don't want to talk about with this person.
Sure.
You know, I tend to lean towards avoiding putting myself into that purchasing situation.
Sure.
So that type of thing turns me off, I guess.
That's fair.
So
it's, you know, it's a fine truck. It's got that going for it, at least.
It does. Yeah, it's got that going for it. All right, so next thing.
Oh.
We're getting a little lighter.
What in the hell is going on here?
So 1990 Land Rover Defender 90, and it's got the truck top on it. So it's, you know, a tiny single cab short bed truck.
Short bed.
So
slowly building this.
75,000 miles. Slowly building over the last couple of years. She's running and driving and good to take out on the town.
Or to car shows.
There's some tinkering left to do. The accessory lights, taillights, turn signals need to be wired. So it actually can't go out on the town, technically.
Okay.
Exhaust is run, but needs some brackets.
Mm-hmm.
The cab surround and upper door halves aren't painted yet.
Okay.
Originally a 2.5 NA, converted to 2.5 TD.
Okay.
Slightly better. Coyote brown / black, and it has these weird panels, Molly panels on every body panel.
Yeah, those are a real deal breaker for me, to be honest. Yeah,
I'm having a hard time with that. It's Molly body armor, he says.
Sure. Right. Well, you could maybe attach body armor to your Molly panels, and that would be good. And then you could take them off to save weight when there's no insurgence going on or...
Yeah, I just...
Or risk... Whatever.
I just don't know that that's going to do much of anything other than dent the entire portion of the aluminum panel that those are bolted to when you hit something with it.
It's bad news. Yeah, because they're definitely... They must be like riv-nutted in or something, which means
yeah,
every one of those panels...
Yeah, some way.
Every one of those panels has been messed up.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So, and they're aluminum. So.
Cool. Yeah.
Let's see. He's got a radio in it, headset. So it must be loud inside.
Well, it's got, it matches your PRP seats. It's practically side by side.
Glow shift gauges, EGT boost volt, color match center console with 12 volt receptacles.
I got to see the interior picture now.
Okay. All right. Well, look at that. Oh, it's got a 42-inch light bar,
mm-hmm.
two 15-inch light bars, two 6-inch / 4x4-inch LED pods.
I don't want to be like don't know, elitist might be the right word here, but notice how there is no brand name mentioned on the light bars. Mm-hmm. Yep, he's got about $600 in Amazon LEDs on this. So almost half of one good quality bar.
It says the front bumper is custom.
Sure.
That's just got a loop on the factory bumper and a winch tray.
Man, that's ugly.
Yeah, those panels really kill it for me. It's got a slider. It's got those old style. I don't know what remember what these tires are called, but very of era.
Okay.
Tire. Come on, interior pictures. Here we go. So he's got a panel inside that he just mounted everything onto and then mounted it to the dash. He's got it's like a board.
Yeah, a Garmin in there, the rugged radio with the headsets. Okay.
Yeah, it's gauges and...
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
More gauges.
And then gauges inside the factory dash. Okay. Got in the factory gauges. Okay.
Oh, it's, definitely got the Tuffy box that is the same color as the outside. That is...
Mm-hmm. And his emergency kill switch.
Gotta have that.
Right there. Yep. Got it. Definitely good to have that. Right hand drive, manual.
Yeah, that's no. I'm gonna give it a no. I love a D90. I know this is possible to save, but I would rather buy that really cheap four door truck thing that we found.
It's the bedliner paint. The whole thing.
I think it requires a lot of undoing, which I'm not a fan of.
Yeah, I don't know that's you gotta want exactly all of the things that he did.
Yeah.
In order to be interested in getting it.
Unfortunately,
I think it's hard for me to say no to a Defender, but
we found it.
Yeah, found it. Unfortunately.
What?
Matching PRP seats.
One random back seat? The seat is out.
No, it's just out because the battery's underneath it. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
It's like
he had the right idea and then kind of got off track.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Because like those panels on the tops of the fenders and on top of the hood, that's pretty common.
Yeah, people do that all the time.
That's like Land Rover stuff. But
is that so you can walk on the fender or something? Like, what? Why do they do that?
I mean, somewhat. Yeah, it's like a protection for it as far as like because a lot of them you'll see they'll put the spare on the hood. And so it's like, it's just as to strengthen and protect the thin aluminum when you're putting weight on it, that's probably going to fucking vibrate and bounce around on it and shit like that. So,
yeah. What is that?
Yeah.
Like on the fender, it looks like a snorkel, right, but not.
It is.
Oh, okay. It's a short snorkel.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
Yep. Doesn't go all the way up. Just there.
All right.
Okay, so last one.
No. Oh, there's more.
This is the lightest one.
All right. Man, you've been hitting it with the Explorers lately.
I mean, hey, good value. Except for I think that his price is bullshit. So 93, Ford Explorer Sport. So it's the two-door.
Okay.
His price is $12,340. You know where we're going with that. And his miles are nice.
Oh, 6,969
miles. So finally ready to let it go. Need a little different setup for a kid now. Fully built, caged, long travel, 4x4 pre-runner with a heater and is turnkey.
Okay.
Message for more details. Clean title, but lost title.
Oh.
Open to offers or some trades.
Okay. Interesting trades considered.
Yeah. So, as you can see, this is why he needs something else for his family, because it literally just has front seats and the rest is a cage. So, you know, it is a desert runner for sure.
Definitely.
Like that was its purpose. It's got the stock motor in it still.
Yeah. I think it's pretty cool.
Yep. It's got fiberglass front and rear fenders. And it is four-wheel drive, which
it's cool. Dual spares.
It's cool. It's got an interesting dual spare carrier. He's got a cute little dog.
That's a short dog.
Short dog. But I mean, it would be nice if he told me how much travel it's got, because it looks like it should have a pretty decent amount. Like, he doesn't even have a picture of it out or anything. But like, this thing is a pretty gnarly TTB setup.
Yeah, it is.
But he doesn't give any info on like what kind of travel it's working with.
Do you think this is, so every once in a while these trucks like this pop up, and or cars like this even, that are kind of in a similar build state, that like someone has, they're the second owner and they like know enough to get them in trouble about it, but they don't really know all the specs. I wonder if it's like that, or if this person built it.
Yeah, I don't know. That is a solid point. I mean, it's rough around the edges.
Yeah.
But it is seriously done, but like it's been seriously done because it got seriously used.
Yeah.
Like this thing has definitely been jumped.
I hope so.
There is no question in my mind the way this thing looks. See, like this is the most travel picture I can find in here. I don't know how it's doing what it's doing right here, but that's kind of drooped out.
It's got to have so much more than that.
Yeah, it has to.
It looks like it's got coilovers and bypasses in the front too. Like,
yeah, it does.
Damn.
Because yeah, this is ride height. It's not lifted up like that. Like, yeah, if you look there, you can see coilover and then the bypass right next to it. Like, this
big leaf
fucking
springs in the back. Yeah,
yeah, big long leaf springs. There's spring under.
Yep. Shocks in the
shocks
back.
That are taller than the wheel wells inside the car, and then he's got the reservoirs mounted on the frame,
on the
roll cage back there. Like, yeah, this thing means fucking business, man.
Yeah,
but it's also rough.
Yeah, I mean, I know the price isn't supposed to play a part in this, so I guess I'll ignore that and say, yeah, I'd pay money for that. I don't know how much money, but I would.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. Just because it would be fun to jump it.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, the dunes are nearby. I would absolutely go to the dunes and just launch this thing a couple of times. Why not?
Jeez. Yeah, air bumps and everything. Like, it is set up.
Yeah.
The California plate makes me think second owner, or like owner after builder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because it's in Malala.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I wonder if that's like this is one of those things. It's either a really good way to buy a project or a really bad way to buy a project, but
could be either way.
Buying from the person who got it and doesn't really know what was done to it, but it was done well the first time around, that could be a win. Like you could potentially be getting something for a steal, because maybe it's too clunky for him or something. Like, that's not his thing, but he's like, oh man, I bought this truck and it's supposed to be so nice, but it's very clunky. Okay, well, it's got Heim joints everywhere or something. Like,
yeah,
and you can
yeah,
be
yeah.
like, now he doesn't care.
I don't
care.
Like the way it drives on the street.
Yeah, it's really rolly.